South Africans are the best people in the world because we are kind and we are caring and we have this concept of Ubuntu and we actually give a damn about one another. So where does xenophobia come from? So joining us on the line right now is Professor Kapano Rotele, who is professor at the University of South Africa and director of Violence Research Unit at the Medical Research Council, who's going to help us to understand the psychology behind the violence of xenophobia. Good afternoon, Professor. How are you?
Afternoon. I'm all right. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for making time to speak to us. How do we understand xenophobia?
Shall I begin where you ended earlier,
yes,
a few seconds ago?
Yes.
It has always baffled totally about, shall we say, for want of a better word, what kind of schizoid society we are. By that I mean, in one moment, we're hospitable, we're kind, we laugh a lot. And the next moment, we're angry, we're aggressive, we're violent. So these things are part of us. Both things are part of us. And so one has to ask, when does the one and not the other arise? It arises, and I have written about this a while back. And so I hope we can talk about all of it because, well, first thing is it arises in the form of a question, I would say, who exactly in these circumstances gets attacked? The person who gets attacked, the people, the groups that get attacked tend to be the darker people. So black people from African people from other countries, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, for instance. So people who are darker rather than people who are of a lighter skin,
different.
White people would be white.
People who are different.
Yeah, but generally,
yeah.
Generally and overwhelmingly are these people from other sides. So what you have here is a particular kind of xenophobia. Xenophobia against the difference, but the difference that sometimes looks the same in the sense that these people, you know, you can't distinguish a Zimbabwean in the street until you speak to them. You can't distinguish a Nigerian, except for stereotyping them, that Nigerians would look like this, would look darker, would speak in a particular way. So in one sense, it comes from a certain history, and I just spoke to it because I'm at a conference of psychologists. It comes from a particular history, a history that says that people who are darker are less beautiful, are uglier, are thieves, are more criminal than people who are lighter. This has been called coloniality. It basically means that when colonialism started about 1400s and then in its manifestation as apartheid, there was a calculation that said certain groups of people have more justice, goodness, value, beauty than others. And so you tend to take out all the stuff that you don't like about yourself generally, particularly in those moments of crisis such as we have in our country. Crisis about unemployment and jobs. You take out your anger, your frustration, the feelings of ugliness, of worthlessness against people who have less power or you think are beneath you. And those are people generally then who tend to, in this case, who look like you, people who think don't deserve to be having things that they have.
It's unbelievable. That is so far out of my understanding and what I identify with as a white person. You know, about this colorism.
Colorism is a real thing, and because of that.
No, I'm not saying it's not. It's just,
yeah.
It's so outside of my experience.
And I think because of that, also black South Africans have this certain superiority, feel the certain superiority against other Africans.
That is so interesting. So what element of this is criminal? Because when I see it, I mean, there's two elements. One is the criminal element, which is obviously going and, you know, raiding somebody's store, destroying the store and just pillaging everything. And then there's another one where, I mean, something that was of huge concern to me was one of our staff members. She lives in Alex, and she said two nights ago, there was a group of people, South Africans, who were going from door to door, knocking on the door and asking, are you a South African?
Oh, my gosh.
It's a witch hunt. I mean, that is just, how do we deal with this, Professor? What solution? Well,
you're quite right. I mean, the Minister of Police has been saying this quite a lot. But I think one wants to also be quite careful here. But you're quite right. I mean, there's a criminal element right here that uses this moment of crisis because we are having a crisis. I mean, the 27%, more than that, are not employed. Others are underemployed. So you have, as you see in the images you see on television, in the papers, the majority of people who prosecute this violence, who attack others, tend to be young men. They are younger, they are men, but of course there are older men, there are women in some instances. But the majority of people will always be men. So there's a criminal element that uses this moment of crisis to attack people, to steal, to loot, to destroy property. And we have to deal with it on that basis. But if you are really serious about dealing with the root causes of this, because 2008, over time, we have seen this. We have seen horrific images about what humans can do to other humans. So, in one sense, then, the causes, what are the causes of this? And I keep on saying this, well, you know, some of us who regard ourselves as progressive and leftists and live away from the shacklands and the informal settlements and the poor neighborhoods, we can be really unfair. Because look, if you ever walked in Durban, or Durban City Center close to the beach right there, or in Johannesburg, and Brie on GP, walk around Marabastad, which I do sometimes, just for research, but also to, you know, never forget how other people live. And you realize the kind of battles, everyday struggles that people have. So right. If people are struggling to make a living, and then there's a group that comes out, and somehow, because if you come from another country, from Ethiopia, for instance, if you or Rwanda, and you can walk or you can travel to South Africa, clearly you already have a certain willpower, a certain survival that I'm going to go out to another country to make a living for myself. So they have this initiative that somehow we have failed to teach our young men and young women, but young men in particular, because this is what I have expertise in. So we haven't taught them to the initiative, the kinds of skills to do what these people from Rwanda or from Ethiopia or from Nigeria do. And then at that moment right there, you have to say, well, there's a failure here. The failure is, of course, as some government ministers have said, that if you're going to have porous borders and you do not have in place the kinds of social services, the kinds of employment that you need to keep South African young men or men in general and women in to earn a living, you are calling for trouble. But of course, there's also this part about countries that, of course, supported South Africa, but outside, they are not doing the work that they need to do. That's why young men from Rwanda, from Kigali, or wherever, Ethiopia, Nigeria, come to South Africa or go to the US or go to Europe, and some of them die. So all of us are responsible, really, particularly our governments, in both not taking care that we have prosperous, well-functioning societies, and in our country, we have the same too. But let me reiterate, you're quite right. There's a criminal element here that we should not accept.
Yeah. Professor, that is unfortunately where we have to leave it. But I'm sure that this is not going to be the last time that we speak. That's Professor Kapano Ratele. He's a professor at the University of South Africa and director of violence research at Medical Research Council. He knows. This man knows what he's talking about. And I'm going to go and find his articles, and I'm going to post them on the Chai FM Facebook page. You can go and check it out a little bit later.